Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Kamala Harris is poised to accept the Democratic presidential nomination tonight at the party convention in Chicago. Michael Tyler is with her campaign.
Of course, she's going to contrast her life story with that of Donald Trump and his dark and dangerous vision for where he wants to take us, this country.
The rail workers on strike now in Canada. That could have a significant impact here in the U.S., says labor specialist Greg DeYoung at Southern Illinois University.
The most immediate disruptions would be things like coal and petroleum, nothing that people are buying directly, but things that affect us pretty quickly.
Researchers say they're closing in on a flu vaccine that could be effective for 20 years.
We are very excited to see these results. It has led us to start manufacturing this vaccine so that it can be used in human clinical trials.
Ted Ross at the Cleveland Clinic says such a vaccine that recognizes different strains could still be a decade from deployment. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Redistricting turned a lot of red legislative districts in Wisconsin purple. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer says that's energizing Democrats in Green Bay, Wausau, Sheboygan, and the Milwaukee suburbs.
Places that were gerrymandered districts for over a decade, and the local communities are thrilled to have an opportunity to finally elect a representative who shares their values.
Democrats are working to cut into Republican majorities in the state assembly and Senate. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will weigh in on a case of a high school wrestling championship. The high court will decide if Hayden Halter's family can sue the referee whose unsportsmanlike conduct call might have suspended him for the state tournament. The Waterford High School star was reinstated and won the title. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Chippewa Valley schools are enacting new federal Title IX regulations to protect against discrimination. According to a WQOW report, Wisconsin is not among the 26 states trying to block the new regulations, so public schools that violate them could lose federal funding. The update formalizes what on the basis of sex means, which now includes gender identity and sexual orientation as part of its protected class. The new regulations also protect pregnant students and staff from discrimination. The Polk County Public Health Department is reminding residents to be on the lookout for signs of rabies in their pets and wild animals. According to a press release, the reminder comes following a positive rabies test result in a bat that had an encounter with a resident recently. Health officials are reminding residents to check their pet's vaccination history and update it if needed, keep themselves and their children away from wild animals, and contact their health care provider if they are bitten or scratched by a wild animal. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers' A.J. Dillon with a neck injury. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. He's one of the Packers' most popular players, running back A.J. Dillon, revealing he suffered another neck stinger in Denver last week. He dealt with one at the end of last season. As Dillon undergoes tests, does this open the door for second-year running back Emmanuel Wilson?
You know, just controlling what I can. It's up to them in the office if they're going to keep me or let me go. But, you know, I'm just controlling what I can.
The roster cut-down day next Tuesday after Saturday's final preseason game against the Ravens.
It's big. It's very big. Because you never know if this is my last time playing for them or what, so it's very big for me.
Baseball, the Brewers wrapping up their series in St. Louis after losing 10-6 last night in extra innings. Manager Pat Murphy asked why was he ejected after arguing with the home plate umpire.
The conversation on the field was balls and strikes in the net.
Sure was.
Golf, Max Lyons the winner of the Wisconsin State Open in Minocqua. He finished the tournament at 16 under par. George Neisser finished second, two shots off the pace. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Increasing clouds this afternoon with temperatures just a touch warmer, rising to the upper 70s. A few spotty sprinkles are possible this evening and tomorrow. Some scattered showers mixed with some sunshine and clouds. As high temperatures stay comfortable in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Even Scott Walker and other Republicans are going apoplectic because Trump keeps melting down into these personal attacks. He's just off the rails, Trigby.
You know, Scott may not be the brightest man, but he knows what politics is. Donald Trump is never going to change. Scott, come on the show. We'll talk about it. Todd and I will be nice to you, and I won't make Badger Boy State jokes.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Join us on our next show for the last day of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, live with Trigby Olson and more. It's going to be a party. Don't miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host for the next couple of weeks, sitting in for Jane Mattenair, who is on vacation. We wish her the happiest of vacations, relaxation, and, you know, having fun. As always, I have Mr. Sir, Board Lord, Sweet Cal B, PhD Esquire on the boards. How are you doing today, this hour, Calvin?
I am doing fantastic.
That's great. I love hearing that. We're always happy to have you here on the show, but you know what's great is if you reach out and talk to us. So you can call us, you can text us. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can reach out to us by text or calling. You can also watch us on the live stream. You can watch us on our Facebook or our Instagram, I'm sorry, our YouTube page or our Twitter page, because we don't call it X here. It's still Twitter. But we'd love to hear from you and discuss the matters of the day. Oh, we had a caller who just left, Calvin. That's unfortunate. Well, I guess maybe they'll call back. But we want to hear from you. Don't forget, folks, you can also listen to this show and all Civic Media shows by taking us along with you, by downloading the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free. Go to your application store of choice, download the Civic Media app, and then you can listen to us whether you are at home, in the car, out of state, out of the country. And someday, and I mean this, Calvin, I mean this, I want someone to take us with them to the International Space Station. How amazing would that be? Someone's listening to Matt and Air on Air while hovering around the round Earth.
Well, the only thing that could be better than that is if it was me who was doing it. Going to space is an ultimate dream of mine.
Okay. So this is new information, and I'm kind of shocked you've never said this before.
Well, I've never really gotten the chance to horn in on it when you've mentioned it. But yeah, I love space.
You wouldn't. Okay, first of all, I take umbrage over the fact that you have to say horned in on it. You have as much of a platform, and you know how much I love space, Calvin.
It's just, it's fascinating to me. It's,
I agree,
somehow less terrifying than the ocean somehow to me, but equally mysterious,
yeah,
and right? Expansive.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. When I look up at the sky, I'm just like, and it's probably because my feet are planted firmly on the ground, but I look up at the sky, I see the stars, you see constellations, the moon, small planets that are available for your eyesight, and you just think, what is going on up there? That's absolutely amazing. Meanwhile, if I'm, you know, looking at water, I'm like, this could be the end of all of us. Why am I so afraid of water? But we got some callers calling in right now, a gentleman who's been very patient, and I appreciate that, through Todd's interview. We want to make sure Todd gets a chance to speak. John from Milwaukee. John, what say you? What's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you, John?
I'm an independent here, so definitely not going to vote for Trump.
Okay.
So I'm watching this the DNC thing. Watch the RNC. It was entertaining. But that two things I've learned and I've noticed, and I'm really disappointed, and it's a turnoff. The DNC seems like the convention of name calling. So I'm like, not with that. And then it just seems like they're talking as Trump as the incumbent. I mean, haven't Harris and the Democrats been in power 12 of the last 16 years in the presidency? So I'm not getting it. And it's name calling. And it's like, well, what is this? I mean, they're gaslighting me and my fellow independents because they're treating us like fools. Like, okay, don't give us a policy. I want a policy. And let's just call names the whole time. And I'm like, wait a second. Haven't you been in power 12 of the last 16 years? So I just throw my hands up and it's like, not voting for Trump. I can't vote for this name calling group of people who have shown no policies and have been in power for 12 of the last 16 years. So don't gaslight me, DNC. The independents aren't buying it.
Okay. Well, John, I mean, I appreciate you calling in and I appreciate your candor. I mean, the DNC and the RNC are generally where, you know, you have your base and then you have the 1% of your base coming in. And yeah, there's fun that's poked at people and there's jibes made and there's names are, and that happens. And whether you agree with it or not, that's, you know, that's totally up to you. And I respect that, John. If you don't like that kind of, you know, gamesmanship, I get that. But, you know, you can't say that didn't happen at the RNC either. And you know, I want to play both sides of the coin here. If you don't like it at the DNC, you shouldn't like it at the RNC because it happens at both. There's always these inside jokes that are played. These people are called names. Sometimes they're a little harsher than others. Sometimes the jokes go a little further than they should. And sometimes people are just seem to be getting hurt for hurt's sake. But also, I don't think the DNC is gaslighting anybody. They're not saying that, you know, they run with the purpose of saying we are not guaranteed a victory. We have to run like we are behind. That is the basis of any good campaign. You don't want to get arrogant. There's no room for cockiness or for hubris here. And this is both sides too. You want to inflame your base. You want to make them excited and you want them to vote. You want them to talk to people, but you also can't tell them victory is assured. It's going to happen. You have to run like you are behind. And, you know, I feel very little for the people they're making fun of because they do the exact same thing. And yes, they've been in power they've had a president the 12 of the last 16 years, but there's no guarantees for the next 4 years. And that's what they're working on. And as far as policies go, you'll probably hear more about it tonight during Kamala's speech if you want to watch it. But you can also go to our website. You can also watch stump speeches. And the policies, the economic policies are being shaped right now because, as we all know, her campaign was put together rather quickly, right, Calvin? I mean,
well, for me, it's incredibly frustrating to hear that the Democrats weren't talking about policy when that insinuates, one, that the Republicans
have policy.
Have policies.
Yeah, exactly.
And two, that they aren't talking about policies, which is just blatantly not true. Mm-hmm. Harris has said in multiple speeches she has an economic plan to build 3 million new housing units in the next 4 years.
Okay.
That is more concrete than drill, baby, drill, which what we hear as the king of Donald Trump's policies.
Yeah.
So, and on top of that, I know that this is foreign to people who witnessed the RNC this past year, but the convention's purpose is to establish the platform of the party, and then the presidential nominee then runs on that platform. Why would we expect her platform to be established before the convention is over?
Very good points. But, John, you're absolutely valid in your feelings, and I don't want you to feel gaslit by one party, either party, or anyone for that matter. I just hope you keep an open mind, and if you're not going to vote for Trump, I get that. I'm not gonna tell you who to vote for, but I hope you keep an open mind. And thank you for calling, John, and telling us how you're feeling today. Sharky and Racine, you've been waiting as well. How you doing, Sharky? What's going on, buddy?
Well, good show, guys.
Thank you.
I tell you a lot. I said it before, and I said it again. You know that Mrs. Harris, she's my gal, you know, living for half my life in front of a star witness type of situation in court and testimony. I think she's got the power and she's got the flow. So
yeah.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was halfway through the show last night, just before Tim got up there, they showed a whole bunch of different photographs of all styles, all different wakes, all different times, all different race and situations of all kinds of people. Then they brought some people, the same people, in this slideshow last night with a child in a wheelchair, very disabled, very, very disabled. So they kept running, and then they got more detail, and then that disabled a young lady, she got words in, and the words were so strong, and to see her push for those words, it put severe tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
And as I went along, I mean, I'm watching this, and I'm teary-eyed. And then Tim gets up there, and he's doing his speech, and I appreciate his speech. And then they were putting around him on the family. They showed the family, and I didn't know that Tim's son had some
Gus
disabilities.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was pointing and everything. He was so happy.
Yep.
And now they're making fun of that. And you know what? I'm angry.
Yeah, you know, Sharky, I wasn't going to bring it up honestly because this is more. So for those who don't know, Tim and Gwen Walls have two children. Their youngest, Gus, is—I don't know exactly. I don't know if it's autism. I do not know what it is, but he does have cognitive disabilities. He's 17 years old. He was at the convention last night. He was so proud. He was crying. He was pointing. He was saying, "That's my dad," and like that for me is a joy to watch. I don't know about you, Calvin, and I'll share something. My father passed away a long time ago, and it's always. It gets me right where I live, where I see a strong relationship between a son and a father, especially one where the son is encouraged to show emotion. And you can tell by Gus's behavior, which was beautiful, that his father told him, you show your energy, you show your emotion, you're happy. A strong man can cry and be himself. And that was wonderful to watch. And now... we have these individuals who are making fun of him for it and showing their colors. And that's for them to deal with. I mean, I'm not going to name names and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but honestly, just to me, just a plain shame on you situation. If you ask me, this is a young man who's proud of his dad and he was showing emotion. And that's what we want from our men. We want our young men to show emotion and let us know how they're feeling. So I was just disappointed.
Yeah, it is disappointing because, I mean, he looked sharp. He was dressed well. He was excited for his dad. It was just a great moment, but it's par for the course. Ella Emhoff has been a target of attacks this week for absolutely no reason.
It's anything they don't like, anything that scares them, anything that makes them feel like, oh, you're one of the other. And that's for another conversation. I don't want to get into it and give them too much time. Someone, let's see here, Ronnie from HorrorCon said, hey, Greg, can you talk about the Walls' acceptance speech last night as well as his son's emotional? We just talked about that. Oh, he is neurodivergent. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back. Stick around, stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. When money people talk about retirement plans, they'll usually start talking about 401ks. But if you are one of the 57 million Americans who doesn't have a retirement plan from your job, I worked in restaurants for a long time, so I know, retirement planning can seem mysterious. I know it really did for me. That's why today I'm talking about target date funds. That's the retirement tool that I used when I did not have a job with a 401k. I chose an investment fund with a target date. For me, it was the year I'm going to retire, you know, when I turned 65. And then I started putting money in the account, and the fund adjusts my investments over time moving from higher return but riskier things to less risky things as my retirement date approaches. The hardest part of retirement investing is getting started. I hope this helps. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. This is Greg Bach, your sitting in host for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation right now. And we wish her all the fun, all the relaxation, all the vacating she can have. And we'll see her in a couple weeks. But you are listening to the show right now. We're happy to have you. Of course, can call in 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can either call or text. That's the same number. Do that. You can follow us, by the way, Calvin. We're on something called social media. Have you heard of it?
I don't think I have. What is social media, Greg?
It is a place where all the best people are all the time. It's never bad. It's never wrong. They bring cookies and iced teas, and we just talk and have fun and sometimes knit. You should check it out. But we are on the social media. This show is Matt and Air on Air. Now, it's an interesting spelling, so I'm going to spell it for you right now. If you got your phone handy, don't be driving with your phone in your hand. MATENEAR. Matt and Air on Air. Did I do that right? I feel like just in that moment, I feel like I did that wrong. I think I did it wrong.
I think you did.
Yep, I did. I totally did. It is. It is not. It is. Sorry, everyone. MATENAER on Air. Matt and Air on Air. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow. You can like us on Facebook. You can get at us on Instagram. And then you can also go to YouTube and follow the Civic Media page. You can follow. You can get them on Twitter as well. All the social media. Find us, follow us, say hi to us. We've been talking about a little bit more about the DNC, talking about, you know, scruples, morals. Some people believe that the DNC is not being legitimate or being genuine. I understand that everyone is entitled to their opinion, and I get that. And I'm not going to say you were wrong. It's valid if you like to believe what you believe. Andrew from Maine, listening in WAUK, says the party conventions are parties for the party, not necessarily focused on outside voters, which is something you said, I think you said perfectly, which is, Calvin, it's about putting together the platform. We accept the platform, and then they run on that platform for the next 70-plus days. And then Ronnie, I read this text before when we were talking about in the previous segment. Ronnie from Horicons was talking about Tim Walz's son, Gus. He is neurodivergent. I apologize. I didn't know what was the situation, and I said autism. It's not that case. He's neurodivergent. And the socials are full of mockery and cruelty towards him. It's just disheartening. Kids really need to be off limits. And I don't disagree with you. And I said that with Trump. I said it with Obama. I said it with anybody. These are kids. And him showing love and excitement for his father is the important thing. And that's wonderful. And the people who say something, shame on them. So, it's just Tammy from Virginia. Thank you for listening all the way in Virginia on WMDX. My husband and I were sobbing together at the love Gus showed to his dad. We all desire to have that kind of love. Harris Walz 2024. Love it. I too. Yep. I get emotional over that stuff. Like I said, lost my father a long time ago. And when I see a father and son relationship that has that kind of bond and openness, I am a blubbering wall of water tears, Calvin. You don't want to see it. Don't even bother trying. So we got some more callers on the line here. Tom from L.A., you're back. What's going on?
I am back. Hey, I have a question. I wish that John guy would call back in.
Well, for now, we just have you, Tom. Don't worry about him. We got what do you have to say?
All I'm saying is I've watched almost every minute of these conventions, yeah. And I have not seen any name-calling. And it's a way that the right actually calls in and tries to pretend like they're something that they're not. Also, for a party that calls us the Democrat Party, they should have really no place to talk. We are the Democratic Party, and they really need to start respecting us. It's like someone calling you by a different name than what is your real name.
So
I get that, Tom. I understand that, but like in the great span of things, first of all, I don't think any self-aware Democrat or liberal or whatever they identify on the left is going to hold their breath waiting for the respect of anyone from the GOP. That's just how it is. I mean, that's one thing. And they can, that's the thing though, is they can say that, like, if that's all they have, I mean, you got JD Vance running around the country questioning anything Tim Wahl says. You got Trump talking about crowd sizes. You got all these, no substance, no policies other than, as Calvin said, drill baby drill, or we're going to make it safer, or the streets are on fire in chaos. They don't have anything. So really, I personally think, and this is coming from years of working in campaigns, is keep your head down, let them be them, and keep running your ground game, which is exactly what Harris and Walz are doing. It's about running a sturdy, robust game through the next 70 plus days to election and making sure everyone is registered, informed, and voting. Calvin, what do you have to say?
Well, yeah, I mean, it, just to go back to the Democratic Party hasn't presented policies at this convention. As far as I knew, abortion access is a policy, and that has been a pretty major focus. And they've touted things like the prescription drug caps for Social Security recipients, and they've stated that it is a goal to provide that for everyone. So
yeah,
to say that there's not policy proposals is disingenuous.
That really stuck in your craw.
It really did.
Folks, over the next 2.5 weeks, you're going to see a new version of Calvin. This is spicy Calvin. He gets upset, and I like it. I want to see more of it. I don't want to see you mad. I just want to see you speak in your mind. But the other thing, too, is when you speak about policy, too, let's talk about one major thing. You just brought it up yourself, abortion. A matter, a stance that has been on the platform of the GOP for 5 decades. Where was it in Milwaukee? Nowhere. They didn't talk about it. They're not talking about policy. They're just garnering fear and garnering and cracking their jokes and doing what they need to do, but they're not bringing out policy. They're not stating their values. They're just saying, I mean, they are criticizing people within the room. I mean, you had a woman of color doing who's married to the vice presidential nomination, and they're making jokes about her. You had people of other faiths there, and they were calling them like demon worshipers.
I mean, yeah, it's just gross. And yeah. I mean, to like, if the policy platform isn't created by the people don't need to see it. And I think that is the GOP's attitude, is we built the platform behind closed doors. Yep. We are the ones who are running on it. You guys are just voting for us. You don't need to know it.
Matt, listening in Germantown, just said they published a 900-page policy book,
which is very, very true.
It's very, very true. You were right, though, Calvin. They don't need to put out policies. They just have to say, this is this, and the people say, okay, and then they move on. If on Tuesday the sky is blue, but on Wednesday they say the sky is red, guess what? The sky is now red. So a lot of stuff happening down at the DNC tonight. It's going to be very, very exciting. Now we have this whole new thing of who is going to be the special guest. I feel like we already know it's not going to be Taylor Swift.
I mean, I think Todd is right on the money. I think if I was a betting man, my money would be firmly behind Beyonce.
Yeah, I agree. She's coming out to her song, so it just makes sense it would be Beyonce. But all that aside, we're going to lighten things up. We're going to talk about something very, very important. That is sports, because coming up after the break, we have JS Online writer, Journal Sentinel guru of sports, our sports guru, J.R. Ratcliffe, coming on the show. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a short break, grab some snacks, grab some water. You do the same. We'll see you soon. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Redistricting turned a lot of red legislative districts in Wisconsin purple. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer says that's energizing Democrats in Green Bay, Wausau, Sheboygan, and the Milwaukee suburbs.
Places that were gerrymandered districts for over a decade, and the local communities are thrilled to have an opportunity to finally elect a representative who shares their values.
Democrats are working to cut into Republican majorities in the state assembly and Senate. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will weigh in on a case of a high school wrestling championship. The high court will decide if Hayden Halter's family can sue the referee whose unsportsmanlike conduct call might have suspended him for the state tournament. The Waterford High School star was reinstated and won the title. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The newly merged Dunn County United Way and St. Croix County United Way held a ribbon-cutting ceremony on Wednesday. Following their merger, the organization will now cover six counties from its new location on Wilson Avenue in Menominee. When the merger was first announced, officials said the combination of resources would allow the organization to help more area residents in need more efficiently. Now that the merger is official and their new location opened, the organization is turning their attention to their fall campaign. The land that had previously hosted Country Jam every year has been listed for sale. According to a WEAU report, the land is being sold in two parts, with over 100 acres available in total. The main portion of the land that includes the stages and main festival is listed at $1 million for more than 80 acres of land. The other lot of over 20 acres is listed at $500,000. The land is being sold in two pieces because the larger portion sits on a floodplain, meaning nothing can be built by the new owners. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. You can track the trajectory for my addiction if you gauge my weight from season to season. Those are the words of Matthew Perry from his book, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. Perry says when he was carrying weight, he was drinking, and when he was skinny, it was pills. And when he had a goatee, it was lots of pills. According to the New York Post, series producers Marta Kaufman and David Crane spoke to the Times of London about their process when they learned of Perry's addiction to drugs and alcohol. Crane said they asked Perry if he wanted to leave the show to deal with his substance issues, to which Perry replied, "No, this is really important to me." Perry said in his book that he estimates he spent roughly $9 million in an attempt to become sober. The late star also said that season 9 of Friends was the only season of the show he was fully sober for. Perry was found dead in his hot tub in October 23 from a ketamine overdose. His live-in assistant has recently been charged, along with four others, in connection to Perry's death. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Increasing clouds this afternoon with temperatures just a touch warmer, rising to the upper 70s. A few spotty sprinkles are possible this evening and tomorrow. Some scattered showers mixed with some sunshine and clouds. As high temperatures stay comfortable in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
The Democratic National Convention is in Chicago, and our team will be there to tell you what you need to know. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
And I'm Todd Allball, host of the Todd Allball Show. Count on us for important analysis, interviews, and the Democrats' nomination of their presidential candidate.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Listen for updates, plus special coverage at 6 each night. Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we say goodbye to Chicago, reviewing a busy convention week for Democrats and looking ahead to the 74 days left to campaign.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport. The thrill of victory. and the agony of defeat.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your fill-in host for the next couple weeks while Jane is on vacation. We have Sweet Cal B on the boards. You can always get in touch with us by calling 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And our guest right now, of course, it's Thursday, so it is time to bring on our sports guru from the Journal Sentinel, Mr. J.R. Radcliffe. J.R., welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Don't think I didn't miss that eye roll Calvin threw you as you were very excited about that intro music, that agony defeat situation
there. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know your age, JR, but I know that on Saturdays, I would always watch the Wide World. I'd watch the intro to the Wide World of Sports, because when they say the agony defeat, if you go on YouTube and look at this, Calvin, it's when someone who is skiing just literally goes off the rails and just
falls down the hill.
Yep, falls down the hill, does a whoopsie doodle down the Alps. And yeah, so that's got a special memory for me. JR, how are you doing?
I'm doing quite well. How are you doing today, Greg Bach?
I'm doing
good. It's unusual for you to be in the big chair.
I know. It's a very big chair. It's a comfy chair, too. I want a comfy chair, Calvin. It's, you know, I feel like a sense of responsibility, of course. You know, this is Jane's show, and I want to do right by her and by all the listeners and by civic media. And if you may indulge me in something really quick, JR, I just want to send a shout-out to Jane Matinere for entrusting me with the show for the next few weeks. We're going to have fun and a good time. And I've told her she is not allowed to text or call, and that's mainly so she can't get mad at me if I don't do a good job. So, yeah, I'm doing well. JR, I'd love if last night would have went better with the Brewers to be really feel good about it, but still, the Brewers are on fire.
They are on fire. They had a tough one on Wednesday night where they had a 2-run lead looking for one more out.
Yeah.
And Devin Williams just kind of ran out of gas. It was his second game in a row pitching. He did a really high stress inning the night before, which easily could have gone south. In fact, some pretty impressive stuff for them to hold on to that win in St. Louis. So they end up losing. They lost an extras 10-6. They haven't taken many on the chin quite like that this year. Mm-hmm. So honestly, it's just an allowable blip on the radar, because they still, even after that loss, have an 11-game lead in the NL Central. There is no team that I can find in the history of modern baseball that has lost a lead in a division of this large, this late in the season. At this point in August, anybody who's up double digits wins the division. That's just the way it goes. So that is easily where we're headed. It's now a question of, can the Brewers catch the Phillies or the Dodgers? And they're very close to both teams,
yeah,
to get a bye in that first round of the playoffs. That's kind of what the Brewers are shooting for now. So that's where a loss like that hurts. But they are still very much a playoff team on a trajectory for the postseason.
And honestly, like with that, you know, you talk about the Dodgers, and I feel like, well, we all recognize how great the Dodgers are. They've got their top three, the first three players on their roster are worth $1 billion to baseball. And you have these tremendous hitters and pitchers in the Dodgers. You know, the fact that we split that series of four games was very important, and I thought was great. But after that, I actually, you know, I hadn't done this before in a while, but I looked at the records of all of the first place teams and all of the divisions, and we are doing great compared to the Dodgers and compared to all these teams. And we've got a better record than the Astros, but like this is the first time in many seasons where even finishing first, you know, there's seasons in the past where they finish first and you're like, yeah, but it's not going to go far after this. You can feel it. Like, they really clawed their way to number one, and we won on a wing and a prayer. But this time, it's like there's a dominating spirit about the Brewers that feels like, oh, no, we could take this deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it helps that they have this massive lead. You know, like you're talking about the Dodgers. Yeah, the Dodgers have the number one record in the NL, but they're one game ahead of the Phillies, mm-hmm, two ahead of the Brewers. And they got to contend with the Padres and the Diamondbacks, who are two of the hottest teams, if not the two hottest teams in baseball over the past month. So winning the division is not a guarantee for them. It's kind of a guarantee for the Brewers. You say that out loud, and then who knows what sort of witchcraft, yeah, befalls them. But like, they
trust me, you'll be the first one I text. I'll be like, so JR, how do you feel about this right now?
Yeah, you don't want to say anything is certain, but it is certainly going to be an easier final 6 weeks for the Brewers than it is for the Dodgers at this rate. They are going to be able to rest guys, experiment with you know, maybe bringing up some guys out of the minor leagues in the bullpen. You know, they have freedom to do stuff that shouldn't ultimately hinder their ability to get into the postseason. Now, you know, getting that buy is a big carrot to chase. So they're going to want that. And as long as they're close to contention for that, obviously that is going to be a primary goal. But they have a really, you know, I don't want to say great team because I've never felt this team was great. I always saw the warts. And I think that's just seeing this team up close every day. You see kind of where they fall short. But I think it's important to point out that comparatively, nobody in baseball has a great team this year. There's not going to be any team that wins 100 games, barring somebody going on a massive late surge. Yeah. The Dodgers, you said, they're really good at the top of their lineup. Excellent at the top of their lineup. Bottom of the lineup isn't special. And I got major questions. I still have questions about their pitching staff. I think their pitching staff is pretty hittable. And the Dodgers are the best team in the NL. It's really difficult for Phillies have been up there all year. But the Dodgers still strike me as the best team. They have the most firepower in the NL. But they also have holes. I mean, that's the thing is like some team is going to win the title this year that is a flawed baseball team. And the Brewers absolutely can throw their hat into that ring. They are that caliber of a team.
And I think one of the more remarkable things that they've done with this season, and we've talked about it, I think whether it's you or Paul, we've talked about it every single time with the Brewers is the pitching. And making it this far with this kind of record with pitching is great. But, you know, I've heard many people say, you know, postseason is like a whole new season and it's harder. And really, you know, will the pitching on the Brewers be able to stand up to the postseason teams they're going to face?
Yeah, that's a golden question, but it is like a lot of things when you're talking about the postseason, it's one of those things that's hard to answer because it's who gets hot. Yeah. I go back to Arizona's pitcher, Brandon Pfaadt. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's having a good year, but last year his numbers were awful. You would have taken Joe Ross this year over him easily. And then he got in the postseason and actually the Brewers hit him pretty good in the first of that wild card series. And after that, he was awesome for the next two series. Just awesome.
Yeah.
You know, he was a young pitcher, but there was no way to know that was going to happen. So Frankie Montas is not a guy that I think was really that essential of a pickup, or I didn't at the time. And then he's gone out and been very, very good for the Brewers. Like, could he get hot? It's possible. I mean, I don't know if we can forecast any of that.
Yeah.
I don't look at their rotation and think, oh, they got hammers, because obviously they don't, but they have guys who might be able to get hot and do enough. And I think I've said this before, but you know, their bullpen should be so good. Now throw out Wednesday night's game when their best bullpen arms all struggled, but like their bullpen should be so good and so stacked that you don't need your starter to go more than four innings in a postseason game. That might be enough. You just turn it over to the bullpen and take it from there. That's feasible. You get a lot of off days too in the postseason. You know, you get, it's like two games on, one day off. Like your relievers are going to be rested, and that's really right now where the Brewers' strength lies.
And I will just say this, and I'll leave it as a statement, and we can move on to the Packers. I can't wait to see what kind of accolades can follow Pat Murphy after a season like this, because I mean, this is movie stuff to me, where like you look at the story of it all. He just inspires so much fun. He's such a good dude, and his post game interviews are so down to earth, but so like, I don't know. He's never like, we're terrible right now. And if they say we did a bad job, we did a bad job, but we move on. He's just like gruff, and I love it. I'm just here for Pat Murphy.
I know you're a fan. He's made a few, I would call them, curious decisions lately. just sort of a bumper crop of like, that's an interesting call. Not sure I would have done that, but in any event, manager of the year is always about narrative. Yeah. And it's kind of, I think among baseball writers, it is seen as the silliest of the awards because it is just impossible to measure a manager's impact.
Yeah.
But narratively speaking, it's hard to top a Brewers team that lost all of its rotation.
Yeah.
You know, didn't have Devin Williams most of the year, lost its manager, and then equals exactly where they were and became the runaway leader in the NL Central. Like that's a really good story. You've got a couple other candidates certainly, but that's a very good, you know, it'll be tough to top.
Yeah. It's wherever we go. And I feel like we're going to do well, as you said, I think we're going to do well at the end of this season. It's a definitely a fun one to watch. Now, of course, we're seeing a lot of people putting away those baseball jerseys and putting away those Brewers hats because football time is here, and I'm not begrudging. This is the thing I begrudge. I don't begrudge football. It's that my friends who claim to be huge Brewers fans will literally turn the faucet off in August and be like, it's Packer time. So I don't even care about baseball anymore. And we're talking about Packers. And I now am going to turn it over to Calvin, as he is the Packers fan, and I'm going to listen to two experts have a good conversation, and I might make a joke here and there.
Well, yeah, so let's start with last weekend. Obviously, they did not look good against the Broncos, but none of the starters played, or next to none of the starters played. Does this mean anything?
Well, it does for the backup quarterback's positioning, which I think is still up for grabs. A couple guys that neither of whom has really stepped up to really take the reins, Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt. I know that's not the type of thing people are thinking about top of mind, but you know, if Jordan Love goes down for a game or two, and historically your quarterback is going to go down for a game or two. It didn't happen for them last year, but it happened to Aaron Rodgers here and there quite a bit. You need somebody who can step in and fill in. I shouldn't say quite a bit for Aaron Rodgers. There were a couple of bigger injuries in there, but you might need somebody to step in. It's nice to know who that guy is. I don't know if they have that quarterback right now that you can trust to really turn it over. So I'm really curious to know, especially as they prepare for this third and final preseason game, like, are they going to try to get somebody who's on the street or who gets released to be kind of that number two guy? Other than that, though, no. 31 players who are starters or key contributors did not suit up for this game. It was a terrible game. Just awful, awful. No one feels good about watching that game, but I really don't think you need to be too worried about what the outcome was there. Everybody came away pretty healthy, and the Packers are in a position where they're worried about guys, you know, who's going to be that 53rd man on the roster, who's going to be that backup, not necessarily who's fighting for starter spots.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Journal Sentinel sports writer, but more importantly, our sports guru, Mr. J.R. Ratcliffe, and we're talking about the upcoming Packers season. I mean, you can forecast away. I mean, you put a lot of money into Jordan Love, so it seems like they've got a lot of expectations and a lot of confidence that this will be where they were last year, taking it even a step further. Is that kind of what you all in the expert of Sportslandia seeing?
I mean, that would obviously, it would be hugely disappointing if they did not take a step forward. They did only, you know, it's easy to forget. They only won, you know, they only were one game above 500 last year in the regular season, because it took a while to really hit their stride. But then going to the divisional round and really putting in yourself in position to go to the NFC Championship game. Yes, obviously you'd expect them to take a big leap forward. There were so many rookies and second year players on last year's team. Now they all have another year of experience. Jordan Love has the full year of experience. He's got the contract. I think the one caution I have remaining is that nobody really got worse. Like the Lions are probably still going to be the favorite in this division. You know, as good as the Packers are, they're not going to be picked to even win the division, let alone necessarily go to the Super Bowl. So the 49ers did not get worse. There are other teams that I think have risen up. I mean, the Bears are quite a bit better. I don't think they're a threat yet, but they
sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. Like,
no, I mean, they've outfitted themselves nicely. They've got obviously the quarterback, but a couple, you know, Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze, a couple really nice receivers that have been added to the fray. And there's you know, there are teams you cannot say fell out of the picture. So the Packers are gonna have to rise up and take it. That's the thing that, you know, that's the thing for them. And when they hit adversity early in the season, they're gonna have to overcome it much more quickly than they did last year, because, you know, 9-8 probably not gonna get it done. They're gonna have to be a better team this year. And of course we expect they will be.
Yeah, 9-8, I think people will be like, why did we pay him so much? And most people who know the long game understand that this is, you know, his second year. But, you know, Craig Council loses three games in the beginning of the season, they're like, fire him. You know what I mean? Like, it's that's gonna be the louder noise. You can find him on Journal Sentinel online. You can also find him here every other week on Matt and Air on Air. J.R. Ratcliffe, thank you for stopping by and talking all things sports with us.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Talk to you soon, friend. Weather and Wine is up next with Brittany Merlot. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. See you soon.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane Matinera, who is on vacation for the next couple of weeks. She is vacating, relaxing, and getting out of here, and we wish her fun, and we'll see her soon. As always, Dr. Slide, Mr. Spicy Calby is on the board. He's yawning right now because I've bored him in less than 2 hours. That's okay. We're about to get real crazy here. We're about to mix things up with DJ Flipmix herself, Civic Media's meteorologist, Brittany Merlot with Weather and Wine, another installment of Weather and Wine here on Matt and Air on Air. Brittany, how are you today?
Oh, I'm good. I'm really good. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. It's, you know, it's our Cal's and I first show on you know, for the next few weeks, and we want to work out all the bugs and get things going cool. But yeah, we're happy to have you on. And before we get started, you were on Pat's show earlier.
Yeah.
And you're wearing, if you're not on the live stream right now, which you should be, check us out on the live stream. Brittany is wearing a hoodie that says, I am the storm. Now, here's the thing is, I thought she was wearing that hoodie because she is, in fact, a storm chaser. Am I right? You are a storm chaser.
Correct. Yes, I am.
For her, the greatest movies ever are Twister, Twisters, and for some reason, Caddyshack 2. But the point is... She's wearing a hoodie that says, I am the storm. So I figured that was just, you know, part of the uniform. That's not what you told Pat why you bought the hoodie. Why did you buy the hoodie again?
I told Pat that I bought the hoodie because I am also a natural disaster. So I am literally a storm, you know? You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm a mess sometimes.
I'm just going to stay out of, I'm going to clear a path. Stay out of the eye of the storm.
Good
and you can always listen to Brittany on Pat's show, Pat Kreitler's show, Up North News Radio, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. You can also see me, too, because I'm bored off that show, and it's very, very fun. But, Brittany,
it is. We
have you here every single Thursday to talk weather and wine. And I wanted to talk about, I heard this, actually, on Civic Media, a story about mosquitoes. I didn't get all of it, and but I heard your voice, and I wanted to talk to you about it and know more. Tell us about that. What's going on with mosquitoes?
Yeah, so this year, obviously, we all know we've had an excess amount of rainfall, mm-hmm. way too much of it, way too often. It's just been damp and moist out there. So obviously, this is great breeding grounds for mosquitoes. So up north where I am, I'm in Wausau, right? Yeah. I'm in the woods. So
no mosquitoes there.
Right. I know a lot of city areas, you know, they spray, they fog, whatever they do to help it. But if you're headed up north at all, it's pretty bad this year. And so I just did some digging, and why are they so bad? You know, it's of course the rain, but I found out that there's two big species that we usually have here in Wisconsin out of 55. First of all, I didn't know there were 55 different mosquitoes.
My goodness.
Ugh, too many of them. But the big two here are the Aedes, which is an inland floodwater mosquito, and they're aggressive. I mean, they travel 10 miles from their home. They also are the ones responsible for the dog heartworm, that they transfer that. But those, they stay dormant for about 5 years. So on high rainfall years, hello, they're out. So that's the increase right there, is that 80s inland floodwater. Mm. there's more of them than other years. But we obviously still have this other one. It's called the Culex, I believe I'm saying that right. But it's the northern house mosquito. That's the normal one where it's usually in the ditches and pools and barrels. And that's where you find those.
My arms rounds. All the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And those are the West Nile virus transmitters.
Yeah, that was the thing I was wanted to ask about next is that, you know, we know mosquitoes are annoying and they can cause us itches, but they also carry diseases. And it's important to, you know, get sprayed and also, you know, wear the clothing appropriate for if you're out in the woods, wear long sleeve clothing. I didn't realize we had two giant, basically, now it's mutated in my head. Now they have consciousness. Thanks a lot, Brittany. All right, cool.
I did find some interesting things, though, that I didn't know of how to treat a mosquito bite, right? I'm usually getting the anti-itch cream from the store and call it a day. But you can put an ice pack on it right away, and that's supposed to help with the swelling, reduce the itchiness.
All right.
And then if you don't want to go out to the store or something and you want to make your own stuff, you could do baking soda and water, and it makes a paste that's supposed to help the itching.
Wow. Okay, seriously.
So if anyone's try it, let me know.
Nothing you don't do, seriously. You're like, everything you mentioned, like rock climbing, I do it. Storm chasing, I do it.
Yep.
Battling giants on like the playing fields of the universe, I do it.
I'll try.
Another thing, Brittany, that I don't want to talk about right now because it's not up yet, you said, but you are working on a story about the jet stream.
Yes. So people just throw the word jet stream out, or meteorologists do all the time, and no one really describes what it is, what it does, and how it influences our weather on the ground, and maybe in an airplane too, right? The jets fly in the jet stream, believe it or not.
All right. You heard it here first. Reporting breaking news. Jets fly in the jet stream. I have nothing to do. That story will be posting on Civic Media?
Yes, actually, it will be. And if you go to WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, you can see and you can sign up for a newsletter that I send out every single week where I do these in-depth stories on mosquitoes, the jet stream, whatever else comes to my mind that I want to research that week. But it's some pretty cool stuff. So sign up there, head there, and you can see all that info.
In the last couple of minutes, what do we got going on for the weather for the weekend?
Yeah, so we've got some increasing clouds today. We'll see some spotty showers possible in the northwestern parts of the state tonight. Then, of course, those rain chances continue to slide southward through the state, and they work their way towards the southern half through Friday night and Saturday morning. After that, it's going to be hot and humid, temperatures in those 80s to near 90 degrees. And, of course, with the humidity building, it's going to be a sticky, summery feel for the weekend and into early next week.
So we're not out of summer yet. We still have some gross stuff to go. Great. Thank you. I'm going to keep that air conditioning on because I never turn it off after May. But Brittany, thank you so much for being with us for Weather and Wine. I love having you on the show. Love being informed. Sign up for the newsletter. Go to WXCO.com.
Yep.
WXCO.com. Sign up for Brittany's newsletter. Find out what's going on. Folks, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you. As Jane always says, thank you to Cal and the engineers for doing all this. Thank you to Brittany for being here. JR, Todd Alba. Todd Alba is coming up next. Thank you for listening. And I'm going to steal a line from Jane. I hope you find some joy today, and I hope you have the chance to share it. Thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. with Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Bach. Stay safe. Stay fun. Vote.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Crude and Dom. Tune in Thursday, final day of DNC coverage. Tonight is Kamala Harris's night. The Devil's Advocates will take you live to the United Center. You gotta listen.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
you should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS